Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here tonight to worship, to remember the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ that reminds us of you are sitting at the throne as the King, as the ruler of the world. And also it reminds us of we have to wait for His second coming, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we worship you, open the scripture, reading the passage, would you please help us to understand the meaning of the ascension and also help us to continue to faithfully give our hearts to you and finding Jesus Christ in the text. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and your presence with us tonight. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Word of God. In the first book of Theopolis, and I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, from John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times and or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. A cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heavens as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and then Simon of Zealot, and then Judas, son of James. And all these with one accord with devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. This is the Word of God. As I mentioned, our text is from chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, which is a very interesting break that I found. Because the ESV has, like as we look at just verse 1 to 5 and 6 to 11, and 12 through the rest of the chapter. But the Greek Bible has different construction. You know, verse 1 through 8, and then verse 9, 11, and 12, 14. So I'm trying to go to that way. And then so in our text, in especially Greek text, verses 9 to 14 is the ascension of Jesus Christ. So we're trying to be faithful to the original language, but it's nothing wrong with the ESV. It's depending on preacher's opinion, I guess, but I try to go to verse 14 today. Now, as we know, the book of Acts is a second volume of Luke's work. We know the first book. First book is the Gospel according to Luke. And we know that Luke was a physician. He was a doctor, educated man, and he wrote two books. Now, the stories that Luke is about to tell here in our text is tightly connected with his first book, Luke, book of Luke. And then Luke, Dr. Luke, or Luke used his skills and knowledge and his study to write two different books, which is Book of Luke and Acts. And then he says, in, especially here, he calls one person's name Theophilus. Now, the meaning of this name is a friend of God or beloved by God. And that's kind of an ordinary name, a Greek name at the time. People are talking about must be providential governor or a kind of official. But we're not sure who that person was. But Luke called Theophilus as the most excellent in Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Probably based on that text, people think that he was the providential governor. Anyway, Luke tried to write his books to this person. Many reasons. Because Luke he wanted to help him to rightly understand about Jesus Christ and then the meaning of Christianity from these two books. So that through him, through this possibly the providential governor, would help other people. So people need to be assured the work of Jesus Christ, and they have to know what happened to him, his birth, his death, his resurrection, even today, and his ascension. And then at the time, the Christians at the time, they needed to learn and clarify their faith in Jesus Christ. What's the meaning of our faith in Jesus Christ? Because he's not here anymore. So that's why Luke tried to explain here today in chapter 1. Kind of the purpose of the book of Acts is telling about Jesus Christ after his ascension. In the first book, Luke told the story of Jesus Christ. As we know, his suffering and his death and his resurrection. And he says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 1, in the first book, or Theophilus, and I had dealt with, today our text, I had dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And we see that here Luke is trying to continue to tell the story of Jesus Christ after the ascension. From verse 1, we can define the meaning of it. And the ascension proves something to the Christians. So from our text, I try to summarize a few things. What's the meaning of ascension? Because Luke was trying to explain the meaning of ascension to the possible Roman providential governor. So based on that concept, let's go to our text. The first one is the ascension. What is the meaning of ascension? The ascension proves the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared, based on our text, appeared to many people to prove his resurrection. In verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Very interesting verse, just one verse. He appeared to many people for 40 days. It didn't mean that Jesus, he was with them all 40 days, but we believe that he appeared to them here and there. He did not stay with the entire 40 days with his disciples. He appeared to sometimes the ladies, and after that, Peter and the other disciples. Especially 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 6 tells about 500 people. So during these 40 days, Jesus proved that he was resurrected from the dead as he promised. And he proved that the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, has been fulfilled. And Jesus Christ invited his disciples to touch him. He ate with them and then drank with them. That's kind of what he did during 40 days. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is kind of the most important event for them, for the first century Christians. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 13, verse 13 and 14, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So we have to know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important thing. So these 40 days, Jesus appeared to them to prove that I'm here. I'm not a ghost, or I'm not just spirit. Body and my spirit is separated, but I'm here in front of you. That is your faith to believe. Because of his resurrection, Jesus fulfilled the teaching of the scriptures. For example, in Psalm 16 or Psalm 22, we can read it later, even reminds us of Jonah's story. Jesus told them a couple of times Jonah's illustration. Even Isaiah chapter 53. So all kinds of scriptural teachings, Jesus fulfilled his scriptural teachings. Because of his resurrection, there is no more condemnation. There is no more bad things happening to God's people. But God's grace be with all his people, be with his disciples, and be with early Christians. So that is really important. And because of his resurrection, the first century Christians were able to boldly share the meaning of the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was risen. He's not in the tomb. He was risen, and they're sharing the power of the gospel. Especially we remember Peter in Acts chapter 2. So, Luke tried to explain what Jesus Christ did it. And then in verse 9, it says he was lifted up. That means he was taken up. It's a passive voice. That means Jesus was taken up by God. Interestingly, this word here, taken up, is only used here in the New Testament. Jesus' ascension to the heaven, describing Jesus is going up to the heaven. And also Luke describes that a cloud takes him out of their sight. Now, the theologians understand that the meaning of the cloud is a sign of God's heavenly glory. So when that happened, people see the glory of God. When Jesus went up to the heaven, people see the glory of God, the power of God's glory. And then Jesus ascended to the Father's side. And they really, really saw that Jesus Christ was bodily exalted, went up to the heaven. So the ascension reminds us of the resurrected Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second thing is, the ascension encourages you and me to bring the kingdom of God to the world. From our text in verse 3, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. We know that the kingdom of God, the title, the phrase, is the most important theme of his teaching in the gospel. Jesus mentioned a couple of times, many, many times, the kingdom of God, even parables, the kingdom of God. God will be like this. The kingdom of God, the concept of the kingdom of God is an important thing to us, but even for the Israelites, because the kingdom of God means hope, true hope for them. They really wanted to see God's complete ruling power in their lives because they were under Romans. But they waited for God's salvation through God's kingdom. They want to see God will fulfill his promises from the Old Testament. So they were waiting for the kingdom of God. So teaching about the kingdom of God is really powerful for them. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament teaching of the kingdom of God. So Jesus himself proved that I brought the kingdom of God. And then this is now your job to bring the kingdom of God to the world. Now Jesus showed his kingly power, and his king's power through many miracles and teachings that we know from the Gospels. And also Jesus demonstrated his sovereignty. He conquered the death, and he showed his body, resurrected body. And also he proved that through his resurrection, he proved that he is the Messiah. So what Jesus Christ did is, through his life and resurrection and teaching, he brings the kingdom of God to the disciples and people. and also he encourages people to bring the kingdom of God to the world. The disciples misunderstood the meaning of the kingdom of God. We just read it. In verse 6, they thought and they asked, when the kingdom of God will be restored? Because they saw the Lord Jesus Christ is right now with them. And then they thought he died, but he resurrected. So this is great time with him. Let's go. Let's go change the world. Let's do something. I'm pretty sure I will ask Jesus Christ if I were there. Lord, I thought you died, but you are right now here. Show your power and conquer the world and let your kingdom be here. So they understood like that way. So they asked Jesus Christ, when is the time, by the way? Interestingly, when they ask something like this kind of question, usually from the Gospels, Jesus Christ rebuked them and questioning about their faith. But here, Jesus Christ did not rebuke, gently rebuked them, but did not rebuke harshly, and then did not say too much about their misunderstanding. And Jesus Christ said that knowing time about, you know, when is the kingdom of God has been restored, is not your job. It's God's time and God's job, and then God already set his own time, so you don't have to worry about these things. Your job is not worrying about time and when and where. Your job is bringing the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ to the world with the help of the Holy Spirit. So the ascension of Jesus Christ helped us to remember the kingdom of God is already here, and our job is to bring the kingdom of God to the world. The ascension is also the time of the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, he said that he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. And he explains why. In verse 4, but to wait of the promise of the Father. Jesus commanded them to stay. Now his command was just to wait. Wait in Jerusalem. And then later on, we know why, because he wanted to show that fulfillment from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the world. But anyway, he commanded to stay. And then his command was to stay and wait in Jerusalem. Why? For the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think this is kind of crucial for contemporary Christians. Some people don't understand and misunderstand. And Luke 24 and 49 says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. This is God's promise. The working of the Holy Spirit is not our dream or our imagination, but it's God's promise. And then Luke 24 and 49 keeps saying that, but stay in the city, therefore, until you are clothed with power from on high. And in our text, verse 5, Jesus says, John baptized with water, but the same thing, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the ascension of Jesus Christ reminds us of the Holy Spirit in us. This particular verse reminds us of what Joel says. Joel chapter 2 and 28-29, it's a famous verse. It said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. And then 29 said, even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. So we can picture that Jesus Christ is teaching them the Holy Spirit is coming, and that is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus commanded them to wait, don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is the power from on high, which is teaching from Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 15, even chapter 44 and verse 3 and 5. The Holy Spirit is not something we created, we just made it, but it's coming from God and coming from high. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. From even Old Testament, God promised to send His Holy Spirit, His Spirit. When we read the Old Testament, we see that prophets, even the kings and God's people, they were used by God's Spirit. So we cannot ignore the work of the Holy Spirit in our church, even in the 21st century. Joel says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream in dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we see that God renews His church. I need the work of the Holy Spirit. God renews His church and His people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even God strengthens our faith through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we know it. In our text says that we, His disciples, will be witnesses with the power of the Holy Spirit. I strongly believe that passage because I know that many times it's not me. My job here, you know, even I'm preaching right now, but mainly my job is outreach. Go to meet people outside and knock on the door. It's a scary thing. Really a scary thing. But what I believe is it's not my job. And the Holy Spirit encourages me and brings me to there and helps me to share something. So the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith and life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we know the best example is chapter 2, Peter's sermon. Peter has been changed. He denied Christ for 3 times. He didn't want to follow Christ anymore. He went back to his old job. But he met the Lord. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, he changed. He was changed. He preached to the people. Thousands of people came to the Lord. It's not Peter's job. It's not Peter's education, but the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we remember through today, like the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, we remember the work of the Holy Spirit is with us. Everything is His work, us. And Jesus says in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Basically, we cannot do without the Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything, even church ministries. We have all kinds of different ministries and teaching ministries and children's ministries and small groups and everything. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. The last one, the ascension is the true hope for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the disciples saw the ascension of Jesus Christ, they could not believe. I thought about trying to put myself in the picture. What just happened to me? And I thought that the world will be changed. My Lord Jesus Christ is here, so I'm trying to do something. The kingdom of God is here right now, but He went up to heaven. So they could not believe. Probably some of them must have thought, don't leave us alone. And probably some of them thought, what am I supposed to do right now? What is next? Their eyes were fixed to the sky, looking at and gazing into the sky. Then certainly 2 men appeared, standing among them in white robes. Surely Luke describes the appearance of angels. We remember what happened when Jesus was born. 2 angels, even when Jesus was resurrected. And now these 2 angels said that, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Kind of interesting question. That's kind of our natural tendency. Something happened, and then I could not believe that he's leaving us. What they can do is looking at the sky, but the angel gently rebuked them. Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Now in this verse, we see that the angel, two angels try to encourage them, hey, Jesus Christ taught you what to do. Don't leave and stay here until the Holy Spirit comes. That's what you have to do. So do it, not just looking at heaven. And remember that he will come. The ascension of Jesus Christ is not the end of the story, because Jesus Christ will come back again. And then as Jesus fulfilled the promise of God, everything, that he will fulfill his promise again through his second coming. Therefore, you have to do something, not just looking at the sky, but bring the kingdom of God and just wait for the Holy Spirit. Just go do something. That's the meaning of the angels said. Now, three powerful verses that I found about the second coming of Jesus Christ from the Bible is the Luke 21 and 27. It says, now Jesus talks about his second coming. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, this is really awesome. Power and glory. And Revelation chapter 1 and 7 says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. And every eye. This is not secret. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and then all tribes and of the earth will wail on account of him. But it's going to be a big event. Then the third one is the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. I took the class from Dr. Weimer, Pastor Perry knows him. He teaches the New Testament at Calvin Seminary. When he taught us about this first Thessalonians chapter 4 and 16, he raised his voice really loud, spread his hands out like this, and showing that it will be loud, really loud. It's not quiet. It's not just secret. When Jesus Christ comes, everybody will see him. The angel said that Jesus Christ will come. And through his ascension, we remember the promise of Jesus Christ. Through the ascension of Jesus Christ, we wait for his second coming. Brothers and sisters, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. And then even we celebrate the Pentecost Sunday every year. And the truth is, this ascension of Jesus Christ is often overlooked. And we sent out email about the meaning of ascension that I found from Reformed Worship Resources. It says, Christ's ascension means that in heaven there is one who, knowing firsthand the experience of suffering and temptation, prays for us and perfects our prayers. The ascension is a witness and guarantee of our own bodily resurrection, as well as an invitation for us to set our hearts and minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, to rule over all things in heaven and throughout the universe. That is the meaning of ascension. The ascension of Jesus Christ confirms our faith. And it also confirms Jesus' heavenly enthronement, because he is the Messiah, he is the Savior. And John Calvin says, Jesus was declared to be King, not just only in heaven, but King of heaven and earth through his ascension. that the ascension guarantees that Jesus will remain sovereign of the life and witness of his people. So remember that this is his world. Jesus Christ is ruling this world. And also the ascension foreshadows the second coming of Jesus Christ. The ascension commands you and me to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world, because we know that this is true, because we know that he will come back, because we know that the kingdom of God is right now here. So we have to bring this good news to the world. The message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The message of the forgiveness of sins. The gospel. The gospel. We don't know when Jesus comes again. We don't know. But Mark chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations." When is it? We don't know. The disciples obeyed what Jesus said to them. They returned to Jerusalem and they waited for the Holy Spirit coming. And they prayed together. And then later on, the Holy Spirit came and they boldly shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. So by looking at their life, we look at our life here in the 21st century. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the end of the world. We are his people to talking about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are his people to bring the kingdom of God to the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for Acts chapter 1 and helping us to meaning of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We always wanted to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our church. Some churches in the 21st century, they misunderstood the power of the Holy Spirit. They want to manipulate. They want to use the power of the Holy Spirit for their benefits. But Lord, we need you and your power for the sake of your kingdom. Lord, as we celebrate the ascension of Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday within 2 weeks, would you please help us to experience your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that our church and all members, even Christians in our town and all the nation, will boldly share the gospel of Jesus Christ like the first century Christians. Thank you for this great reminding. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.